Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I am your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is an expert on today's topic. And today we are discussing the topic of technology trends in multifamily artificial intelligence. Joining me by phone from Arlington, Virginia is Stephanie Anderson, Industry Operations Manager with the National Apartment Association. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. We were discussing this topic, artificial intelligence. It almost sounds a little scary. you watch some of the movies that are out about artificial intelligence and so forth. But I know it's a hot topic in multifamily. And one of the things that you sent to me was, the bots are coming for your job, or are they? And, you know, when I think about this, I'm thinking, well, if robots come into play, is that going to displace some of the great people that are in multifamily? So let's talk a little bit about that.
You know, it's such a great question, and it's really a hot, debated topic in our industry right now, Paul. When you mention this topic to anyone in the industry, they will cringe a little bit, and part of it is that job security. And the other part of it is the unknown, right? So we start talking about the future. When you think about the Jetsons, and watching that as a child, just thinking, okay, by the time I can drive, or by the time I'm an adult, I'm going to be driving this car into space, right? That's kind of the mentality and the thought process that we all had. And while technology is pretty significant, we're not quite to that point. But I think as an industry, we really have to start having these uncomfortable conversations. And the question I like to present to people, quite frankly, is, you know, the bots, they're coming, but are they coming for your job? So it's the question of, are they going to help or hurt you? And I firmly believe that they are going to help our business. This is pretty powerful here. When we think about moving towards the future, Gartner predicts that by 2020, customers will manage 85% of their relationship with their enterprises without interacting with humans. Is that not crazy to think about?
That's next year.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
And so it's mind-boggling, especially when we talk about our industry, right? Because multifamily truly is a human touch industry, and it's really all about the people. And I don't want our viewers and listeners to think any differently, because our industry will continue to be about the people, right? The people that work for us, the people that we serve, our residents, and of course, our partners and suppliers that we work with every day. So that doesn't change, but how do we take robots and technology and really make it so it works for our business and it helps enhance our business? So we start talking about brands that use bots. And I was doing a lot of research on brands outside of multifamily, because I know this is a newer concept for us, but Pizza Hut, Fandango, Spotify, The Wall Street Journal, right? These are all companies that are well-known out there, and they're using some form of robots within their company's technology and their platform to assist with their day-to-day operations. But you wouldn't necessarily know that, right? Because when you go to Pizza Hut or you're getting it delivered, you're still having a person deliver it to you. You're still having some sort of human interaction, but it's not necessarily from start to finish.
Yeah, and you know, when you talk about multifamily, I mean, so much of the industry is based on developing a relationship. I mean, the happiness of the resident, they seem to want to have someone to talk to get something taken care of. I guess a lot of people now are doing it online, and so they are not having complete interaction with a human being. But when it comes time to renew that lease, you know, obviously developing a relationship is a strong way to get a lease renewal.
hands down. You know, when you talk about living somewhere, you want to feel like you're part of a community and you want to feel like you're wanted there and that you feel comfortable, right? That's such an important word is your comfortability. And I think it's really important for renewals, like you said, and even new leases that you do have that level of comfort. So outside of your price and your location and having the product that your potential customer is interested in, it really is about forming that relationship. So the question now comes to how do you combine the two together? Because it really is key to have a combination of human touch and robots to really be an effective business.
Well, and you had mentioned a lot of different brands, but you had, you know, I think you and I, when we were corresponding before, you had mentioned McDonald's. what have they done with this?
So McDonald's has such a cool concept, and they're a well-known brand, and they're in, you know, a global brand all over various countries. You can find that beautiful golden arch and know what it is. And so I was really fascinated with their recent story. Back in March of this year, they actually paid a little over $300 million to acquire a company called Dynamic Yield. It's an Israeli company that uses artificial intelligence to give customers personalized experiences. So what they're doing now that they've acquired this company, and you're going to see it coming in the next few months, is they're taking different aspects of their business and tailoring it towards areas that customers can relate to. And this would include the drive-through, the McDonald's app on your phone, and of course the kiosks, which I'm sure you've probably seen in multiple locations now. But what they do is they're developing it so it remembers your card, your name, and your information and compares that to previous orders. So when I come in and order, they are then going to try to increase their revenue based on their previous experience with me. So if it's cold weather outside, they're probably going to offer me a hot beverage, right, to help me. Or if it's early in the morning, they're going to offer me coffee or something caffeinated to assist with, you know, giving me a little bit of extra pump to go on my day. Mm-hmm. If, you know, they know that my children always love their chocolate milkshakes with no whipped cream and no cherry, and they love that. So they know that they're going to recommend those items. So again, they're trying to offer you that personalized experience, no different than you knowing Miss Smith that lives in apartment B and that she has two cats and loves to fish on Sundays, right? Mm-hmm. You're developing that personalized relationship, but it's in a quick format for me to feel like, wow, I can easily order the items that I want, and I know that they know that I love them. And then, of course, they're helping their bottom line, right? Because if I'm just going in there for a cheeseburger, and now they're offering me these additional items that are tempting to me, I'm going to spend more money. So it's sort of a win-win.
Yeah, and you know, I definitely see a place for that in multifamily, because you know, multifamily does have a reputation for having some turnover on properties as far as managers, assistant managers, leasing agents, and so forth. And it's obvious if you develop a relationship with that person, then all of a sudden they've moved to another property or whatever it might be, that information could be lost. And whereas when you walk into the McDonald's and they already know what you want, it doesn't matter who's standing in front of you. They've got that information and they can use that to make your experience better.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you think about companies now, even within multifamily, they try to really brand themselves in terms of their property names and their brochures and catalogs and digital media and websites, right? They want this very consistent look with coloring and pictures and even verbiage, you know, about the community. So this is taking it another step when you're sharing referrals from community to community and being able to share this information. It just helps the resident experience, right? It helps the overall feel that they get when they walk through the door and someone already knows the basis of what they want and what they're looking for.
Yeah. So how is this going to, how will this manifest itself in multifamily when it comes to, say, leasing?
Well, you know, it's a great point that you bring up. There are so many successful examples that we're seeing in the industry just starting with leasing alone, because obviously, like any technology, it's going to evolve over time and it's going to get grander and there's going to be more information with AI that's going to allow us to connect properties and information to enhance the resident experience. But when we're just looking at the leasing experience within multifamily, we're looking at the ability to provide 24/7 availability on your website and apps. You know, that's something that many properties are already doing. You're able to prioritize leads, which I actually think this is probably the coolest to date, is prioritizing leads as it comes to pre-qualifying prospects. Because think about how much time we take unqualified calls and unqualified emails, and you certainly don't want to be rude, because that's an extension of your brand speaking with a customer, and you never know who they're going to refer to you. But the idea here is, how do we spend the most time, the meaningful time that we have, with those who are qualified and truly have interest in your property? And so really prioritizing those leads and using that artificial intelligence to do so. Then building relationships. So we're able to build relationships with people, potential customers, in the way that they want to communicate. So I think back to anyone I deal with. You ever placed a call to someone and they won't answer it, but they text you back 5 minutes later?
Right, yes.
You know, that's kind of the world we live in, and you do have to do business with people in the way that they want to do business. Mm-hmm. And so if that is emailing or calling or video chatting or even meeting face-to-face, you're building relationships with them in the way that works for them, in the way that resonates with them. And then, of course, the biggest thing we're here to do is we're here to close leases, right? We're here to find homes for people, and efficiently closing leases is key here. It's really having an opportunity to use all of the things I've talked about, allowing them to go online, go on your app, go on to any form of technology platform, even social media, connect with us. And then if they're coming to do tours, which we'll talk a little bit about the self-guided tours, but, you know, you're able to effectively close leases by using this artificial intelligence. And that's tremendous for any business.
Yeah, it's fascinating what can be done today. We do have to take a quick break. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts, offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of technology trends in multifamily, artificial intelligence. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone from Arlington, Virginia, is Stephanie Anderson, Industry Operations Manager with the National Apartment Association. Before we jump back in the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topic and guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Stephanie, in the last segment, we were talking about robots and how it's worked in other industries with other brands and what it might look like coming into the multifamily industry. But one place that I know I've seen some traction is in what people call self-guided tours. Talk a little bit about that. Tell us what's going on with that in the industry, who's using it and how it works and all of that.
Absolutely. So in order to paint a picture, I want to take you back a little bit. When I say back, I won't show anyone's age here, but let's go back several years and think about a time that you've toured a community, whether it's a competing community, the potential to purchase a community, or you're just out shopping for yourself for the possibility of future housing. And I have experienced over the years walking in to a very busy office and being handed the keys and saying, you know, we're really busy right now. You didn't have a scheduled tour. Here's the keys to the model. Go check it out. Mm. And we think about those moments and they make us cringe, because those are the moments that was just unheard of in our industry. It was known as poor customer service. It was just not something you did. You didn't trust someone taking the keys and going to the model. And chances are you wouldn't close on them because they would come back, drop the keys off, and just head out the door. And it just wasn't a good business model. And it was something that typically, if you experienced it, those same individuals may or may not be there the next day you would go to tour. So now we fast forward, you know, all these years, and now we're saying, Paul, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're essentially in a digital format saying, here's the keys, go take a look on your own. I mean, does that not blow your mind a little bit?
Yeah, it does. It's wild.
It is. So now we're saying self-guided tours. Why? Well, you're seeing this trend and it's making people a little uncomfortable, but they're starting to see the benefits of it. We have several owners of mid to small size portfolios who are even utilizing this particular tactic, and it's really working for their business. So let me now tell you why, before we go into what self-guided tours are and why that works. I think about the first self-checkout. So when I go to CVS or I go to Target or any other, you know, place of business that has it, I actually prefer the self-checkout. I like the convenience of it. It's my time. It's what works for me. And, you know, it's been around since 1997, which is insane to think about. It didn't go mainstream, I don't think, until about 2005. But since 97, that they've been in grocery stores across the country. And so I think about, okay, customer service is key in our industry, but it doesn't always mean that human touch. So how are we applying that to multifamily? So we're trying to serve the needs of a very specific customer demographic and finding a combination that works for our business model between the two. So what does this mean exactly? And we're really finding that self-guided tours are an opportunity for people who have hours that are outside of our business, right? So they're not available until our offices are closed, or they only have a 10-minute lunch break to run in and tour. And by the time you get all their information on a guest card, they pretty much have 20 seconds to look at the apartment and leave. These are people who like to take their time and measure spaces and think about the space and drive around the community. These are people that this works for them. And that's why are we not doing that in our business? So self-guided tours, you can go online to a website, you know, for a community. You can put in your information just like you would give it to the leasing agent at a community. Get the code, comes to your mobile device, right? Usually a 4 to 6-digit code, and they go to the model apartment and they're able to enter in that code and enter as they like. And it only is for a specified period of time. But the idea here is how convenient for their short lunch break or after hours, they can go in and see. Think about how many potential residents are already driving through your communities after hours because they're trying to check out parking and they're trying to see what demographics live there. And is it a quiet space, or is it a space that works for them, themselves, their families, their lifestyles? So why not?
So basically they're bypassing the office when they do this.
Yes, essentially, they're getting the information they need online. We talked about earlier, there's already 24/7 availability that they're finding online. So they already know when it's available. They already see how much the cost is, and they know the location. So now it's just about, does that space fit for them and their lifestyle? And why not? Why not have them come in? And it's not going to work for everyone, Paul, because you're going to have people that still want to come in and engage with the office staff. Sure. They're going to have a million questions that they're going to want to ask, and that's going to work better for them. But why are we not opening up a portion of our business that's going to assist with those who are not available during our hours of operation?
Yeah. And I'm the guy that doesn't go to the self-checkout at the grocery store because I'm technologically challenged. But I'm old. So the question is then, I guess, just so I understand it. So when someone goes online and they get the code, they get to go to, they were told what unit is the model number, or I guess it's marked, yes, you know, easy for people to find. And so they go into the model and do whatever, they spend as much time as they need in there. And then I'm sure, I mean, if it was me, I would have as you said, a million questions. So I could go back up to the office and, or make an appointment to come in and get those questions answered. But you're allowing them the freedom to come when they can, whenever they need to meet their schedule, to tour the model. And that's basically what they're doing. They're not, when I think of also the other thing, when I think of a self-guided tour, I think of when I go to a museum and you put the earphones on and someone is taking you through. Are people doing that, or is that just, is anything coming out of your device as far as, taking them on the tour of the unit, or no?
Not that we found. So what we're hearing is beneficial is while they're in doing a self-guided tour, you can play music, you have snacks in there, make sure it smells really good, and then you use certain pictures or items that resonate with people inside the apartment unit. And what that does is it gives them a memorable tour. Now, you'll find other devices like, say, Google devices, Alexa, anything like that inside the home that they can interact with. So there are ways to take it up a notch, but there's just not a physical person in there standing over you, walking you through room by room.
Okay. And is the office with this technology, are they notified when someone's in there? So they'll know what kind of traffic's going through there?
They are. So, and there's quite a process. So they will have two different areas here. So if you've got a calendar that's set up for what your tours are as a leasing agent, and then you have a calendar that's set up for the self-guided tours. So again, that's a way to make sure that you're not duplicating or multiple people in the unit at one time.
Right.
But it also allows too for additional AI experience. So after the self-guided tours are completed, you are able to set up what type of interaction you want with the potential customer after the fact. So that includes sending a text message right after they leave to tell them, thank you so much for touring. What did you think about it? If the person prefers to have phone conversations, you can call them, you can email them. So really it's about the end user here, the potential resident, and them dictating to you and your business within the setup, how do they want to be communicated with?
Sure.
Do they prefer text, email, phone? How does that work best for them? And then that's how you work with them.
You know, I know so much in business, in sales and leasing, is follow up, and I'm just wondering, are there people out there using this and they say, well, I know that this person had a tour, the door was open with their code, they scheduled the tour, now we'll follow up with them a day later or 2 days later or whatever. Are people using that to take the initiative to find out if they have any questions or to take it to the next step?
Absolutely. They're using that to do just like you would in the leasing process. So obviously the ultimate goal is to close the lease.
Sure.
So you want to get the lease, but you're also getting feedback from them. What did they like about the tour? Did they enjoy that experience? Because keep in mind, this is a newer technology. So they may be going to other competitors and shopping around the market, and they're getting a full personalized tour there. So how did ours, work with what they've already experienced, and really allowing them to give feedback? Because, with all businesses, Paul, it's not a one-size-fits-all.
Mm-hmm.
So if this works for some communities, let's say student housing, great, or those properties with younger demographics that are glued to their devices, that is one to use. But is an assisted living community, I don't know, does that work for them? So there's areas that you're going to want to evaluate, especially as you put this pilot into your program, to find out if it's really getting great, reception from those who are experiencing it.
Okay. All right. Well, what are the major benefits of this technology as far as using AI in leasing and in the self-guided tours?
Well, some of them are going to be the same as what we talked about with using robots, because you're intertwining here, but you're going to decrease your time spent over the phone and email. Because think about it, when you're writing a personalized email and you're spell checking and you're making sure you're not just copying and pasting templates all the time, you really want to give that personal touch. That takes time. And especially when you're a leasing agent that's being interrupted 35 times by residents and FedEx delivering packages, and you have all these things going on. So how great to be able to decrease that time. You're also reducing your number of unqualified showings, because chances are, if someone's coming to set up a self-guided tour to look in the apartments, could they be tire kickers, as we call them? Sure, you could have those anywhere, But chances are they're not taking their time to go through the self-guided tour process if it's not something they're truly interested in. So again, unqualified showings are going to reduce. You're going to get higher leads for the property because you're not just saying, okay, we can only tour from the hours of 9 to 5:30 as an example. You know, and again, if you only have one leasing agent on site, they may only have certain hours available. They need a lunch break, and maybe they're saying every tour is 30 minutes to an hour long, whatever case may be. And then that's turning other people away that we're losing to competitors. So you're able to really get additional leads for your property. And then overall, it's enhancing the resident experience both ways, because for people like me, Paul, who want that experience by themselves and to do it in a time that works for me, that's great. And for people like you, Paul, who want that personalized touch and attention and to come into the office and have all these questions, the leasing agent now can spend more time with you because they're giving back to both their current residents and potential residents who don't want that experience. So it's a win-win for everyone.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We will be back after these short messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of technology trends in multifamily, artificial intelligence. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone from Arlington, Virginia, is Stephanie Anderson, Industry Operations Manager with the National Apartment Association. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor, specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation and water management. And Ted W. Allen and Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. So, Stephanie, you know, one of the things that I see a lot about when I'm reading the different things that I get in my email about multifamily, and when we go to the apartmentalize the booths and so forth, is what people are calling smart home technology. What does that mean? Can you define that exactly as to what is encompassed and included under that umbrella?
Absolutely. You know, I think there's multiple facets to smart home technology. Some of them gear off into the sustainability initiatives, technology that's geared into the homes to conserve water and be better for our environment. But I would say the majority of people, when they're asked about smart home technology, they refer to convenience options. What are options that decrease energy, like energy efficient appliances that equate to lower electricity bills, which is a plus for everyone. And then also items that tie in specifically to your cellular devices, especially with smartphones. So being able to control your locks with either a key fob or your smartphone, same as what a lot of hotels are doing right now, your thermostat, being able to control the temperature. If you're, you know, thousands of miles away on vacation, you're able to control the thermostat. And then, you know, there's, of course, other items, you know, motion sensing lighting that you don't have to use your cellular device for, where you leave a room and the light cuts off within a given amount of preset minutes or seconds, depending on your settings. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's a way to really, you know, it's better for the environment overall, but it's a convenience factor for those who use it.
Okay, and what are we seeing as far as people that are actually wanting to install this? And are actually doing it? What types of properties are they? Are they retrofitting any of the B and C class properties with this, or is it mostly going into the top of the line A properties?
Well, I think it's become a standard now when you talk about new construction. So when you talk about your Class A and above properties, especially when they're being built, it's something that it just makes sense. It, you know, is something that it's being dictated by our renters and potential renters. So it's definitely a standard out there. When we talk about B and C properties, it's definitely an important conversation when you start talking about renovations. It's something that is proven now you can increase your revenue on. So when you think about the spend and you think about budgeting for that, be sure to think about the ROI that you can attain from it, because being able to, let's say, put nicer thermostats in there, I'll use Nest as an example. They were one of the first that came out. You know, everybody loves that. They love the ability to have preset features and that they can control it from their phone if need be, or they can have preset, you know, settings on there that are dictated based on the outdoor environment. So people love those, and you know, are able to install them, but then you're able to add a premium onto the rent to be able to kind of recoup some of those expenses.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking with someone in the industry that was telling me, and if I understood correctly, what they were saying is that they're refinancing an existing property, which is probably an A property, in the refinancing, they're taking advantage of the green rewards initiatives that they can get, or the initiatives they can get as far as making the loan more favorable with higher interest rate, lower interest rates, and higher loan to value ratios that they get for doing these green enhancements. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that they were telling me that they were required to put the thermostats on, the Nest thermostats, as part of that to save energy.
Yes.
And
you just hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. So in their case, you know, it's for them taking advantage of it. Now they're required to do it as part of the financing. I can recall they didn't seem too happy about it because of the because of what it was going to take to retrofit. But yet, I'm sure they've got some funding through the financing to do that. It's just I guess it's just the amount of time it takes. You know, when you're building a brand new property, I would imagine, and there's nobody living there, you can do all these things without an issue. But when you have to go into a 300 unit property and change out all the thermostats and you know, get access into the units and notify all your residents, which apartment on-site people have to do on a daily basis. You know, it's something that is just another thing that they don't look forward to. But I'm assuming that that's going to be part of it too. Is that as people refinance and these requirements are going to be part of the financing, that we're going to see a lot of these changes.
Absolutely. And it's a great point that, you know, with financing, it's a great option to lower your interest rate, to be able to take the cash that's available right then and be able to apply it to some of these forms of technology. And you're right, the underwriting and loan officers are now requiring it for many properties. And so it's a great little extra push where you may not want to do it, but it makes sense. And keep in mind, some of these smart home technologies do give you discounts off of your insurance policies. So that's another win-win. When we talk about cameras and smart lock technology, those are items that may be able to get discounts on your insurance. So you may be able to you know, spend more money here, but then have some additional cost savings there.
Yeah. And speaking of spending money, Just so happens we're having this discussion at the beginning of budget season. So for the industry as a whole, so what is it that that you're hearing and do you recommend when it comes to talking about these types of technology items as far as budgeting goes?
It's an important question. You know, when you start thinking about budgeting, which is all of our favorite time of year, as you know, you start thinking about how much spend do you have and really how much time do you have to do it in. So when you mentioned before, you know, having to go into occupied units is not the most fun, especially when you're doing a number of items to renovate, you know, not just what we think of as kitchen and bath renovations, but like thermostats and smart locks and motion sensing lighting and items like that. How does that apply? So you have to decide what business model works best. Are you going to do a sweep of the community where you are doing occupied units, or are you going to do it on a turn-by-turn basis? And part of that does come down to the amount of spend that you have. So if you're refinancing, you may be able to do the entire property within a year to a year and a half, versus if you are, you know, doing on a turn-by-turn basis, if you're just taking monthly revenue to be able to pay for that. But, you know, I do want to point out, NAA conducted a study where we surveyed owners and operators on the top 43 amenities. And as part of that survey, we did ask them about budgeting. How are they handling this in terms of budgeting for income? And, you know, they really were very upfront. They said 47% are pricing their smart home technology directly into the rent. So that helps when determining your ROI, specifically for any of this technology being put into place. Now, we did find that 22% are pricing them as separate fees. And I think that either way, it's really an owner and operator specification here. But I think that it does get a little bit difficult when you are pricing them as separate fees, because you don't want to place yourself out of the market in terms of what your monthly rental fees are for your residents. So either way is fine, but I found that to be some fascinating information about how some current members are handling that.
And I guess a question I would ask, when you say they're pricing them as separate fees, they don't have a choice. The resident doesn't have a choice because the thermostat's already in place. So they're just letting the resident know that for this amenity you're paying this amount as part of your total amount that you're paying them.
Correct.
Every month. Yeah.
And just like anything, you know, sometimes we're charging them separate for trash and pest control and other fees, and it can get a little daunting for the resident experience when they have a whole laundry list. They feel like they're getting nickel and dimes, right?
Yeah, right.
So sometimes when you can wrap that all up. Now, internally, especially a lot of people that use revenue management systems, they will, in fact, keep it separate. So they say, okay, this monthly rent is $1,200 a month for this two-bedroom, but it has these additional upgrades, so it's an additional $150 a month. Well, when you're communicating that to the resident, you're not going to tell them that. You're telling them what they're lump sum of monthly rent that they're owing is.
Right.
But internally and for tracking ROI purposes, you may be keeping that separate, which is fine.
Okay. All right, great. Well, we got to take a quick break. We are going to be back with our fourth and final segment of Multifamily Matters after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, Well, we are back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of technology trends in multifamily, artificial intelligence. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by a phone from Arlington, Virginia, is Stephanie Anderson, Industry Operations Manager with the National Apartment Association. Stephanie, I know during the break we were talking a little bit about when you started in the industry, the big thing at that time was, some folks were using televisions as an amenity. Talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So when I started in the industry, I had not been there but probably a couple of months, and our regional said, we're going to start installing HDTVs into the homes. Now, let me paint the picture for you. HDTVs are big now, and you see them everywhere. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about 2006, 2007 timeframe here, and that was not at all the norm, you know, for people to have in their homes because they were relatively expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, for a 42-inch HDTV, they were not priced. You can find them for $300 now, sometimes less depending on the brand. They were easily, you know, $1,000, $1,100 for just a very basic 42-inch HDTV. So what they did was they would install them in the homes, in the living room specifically, on the wall with a wall mount. So it was making sure that it was installed properly and that there was no damage to the drywall, ensuring the liability of the apartment, of course. And then here's this great amenity that people walked into and just thought, wow, I don't have one of these. I love this. A 42-inch HDTV right there installed on my living room wall, ready for me to move in. And the key here, Paul, was that we were charging $50 a month, additional cost of rent. So if your rent was $1,000 a month, you were paying $1,050 a month to have this TV. Now, that didn't include, of course, pet fees and anything else, water and so mm-hmm. forth, that would be included. But $50 a month, so do the math on that, that TV would pay for itself in less than one annual lease term of 12 months.
Right.
I mean, where else could you get that kind of ROI? And of course, TVs would last years, so the TV would actually stay in the home. So whether the resident decided to renew or move out, it would be there for the next resident. And it was a tremendous value. People just loved it. And so it got me thinking, Paul, where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm. And so, go ahead.
The newest technology that I'm hearing as I'm out into the field is the robot vacuums. And I don't know if you have one. I actually swear by them. but the robo vacuum, especially for people who have kids and pets, they are just amazing. And they just, you don't have to vacuum anymore. So now we're hearing from some operators and owners that are having conversations about who brings the robot vacuum. Is it the resident or is it the owner? And if the owner is bringing it to the table here, what kind of premium are they able to charge? And that's a great selling factor for leasing.
Well, and I would imagine that, again, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm technologically challenged, so I don't have a robo-vacuum. But I would imagine that also it in some ways could help protect the asset because you know that the floors are going to get cleaned on a regular basis if unless they turn it off. So, I think that's important. When you were telling this story, it reminded me, again, I'm old, back in the 1980s, we had an apartment owner in the Houston market that went on television advertising for his properties, and everybody who signed a lease got a free VCR. And that takes you way back. But the point is that, VCRs probably had just come out at that time, and they were probably very expensive. And just like what they were doing with the HDTVs, it served the same purpose. So it's a cyclical thing. I think that people can reuse that same philosophy with different technology as it develops over the time.
Absolutely. And being able to have it pay for itself over and over again is great. I mean, it's a win-win.
Yeah. And were you finding that in the higher class properties? Is that where they were doing that in your market?
We are. We're finding those. But I really think, especially when you get down to your C properties, that it would be tremendous value there. I know that the expense would be a little bit upfront, but again, if you're charging that monthly premium onto the rent, you're able to recoup those funds that you're spending. And it's really, like you mentioned earlier, it's maintaining the longevity of the carpet. We all know that carpet does not last at all what it should. You know, unfortunately, residents don't take care of the carpet as they should. And we find a lot of studies that show that residents do not vacuum as much as they should. And I get it, but all the natural oils that are coming out of your feet into the carpet, it is really damaging to the carpet. So if you have a RoboVac, and you can actually set it up before installing it into that particular person's home so that it's on an automated every day at 2 p.m. while they're still at work, you know, it goes and runs its cycle. Or you can set it up, you know, of course, daily, weekly, however you want to do it, but really set that standard with the resident and make it easy for them.
Right. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. I think this is a topic that we're going to be revisiting as time goes on and things develop. I mean, it's certainly, as I said, when I was at Apartmentalize a few months ago, you know, everybody was talking about the smart home technology and you know, artificial intelligence, and there were, you know, different seminars and discussions about all of this. So it's something that I think is initially to some people a little scary, but in the end, it's here, and it's only going to get larger in the industry. So I really appreciate you bringing that topic to the table. I think we'll have another discussion on this as more things develop. But I do want to ask you, as I do ask all our guests, you know, you've been in the industry for a while. How did you get in the industry? And then let's talk a little about what's going on with the National Apartment Association.
Absolutely. So I have a very quick answer for you. I fell into the industry probably as many do that you speak to, especially long-term veterans of the industry. I just happened to stumble upon it. I was graduating from college and had intentions of doing something totally different in a different field. And I was apartment shopping because I guess that's what you do after college. You've got to put on your big girl pants and get a place of your own and go out into the real world. And I just happened to meet some great people that said, wow, you've got this personality. Have you ever considered this? And that conversation kind of spawned into, you know, well, what are the benefits of working in the industry and so forth? And here I am. They can't even run me off now. Here I am today.
Well, you're right. That is the common answer that I see is that no one had the intention of getting in the industry. Someone they knew was in the industry and told them they should do it, or they're working in a restaurant and someone said, you know, you're great with service. We'd love to see you in the industry. And generally they start out in leasing. Is that where you started?
I did. I started part-time as leasing because I was finishing up my college degree. I was in my last semester, and they said, hey, you can work evenings and weekends. And they said, you even get commission. You get leasing commissions when you lease apartments. And I'm like, hold on, I get an hourly rate, plus I get commissions for people who move in, which is part of my job anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm basically getting paid extra for things I was already going to do. I mean, it was just, it was a no-brainer for me. It worked with my schedule. And then after graduation, I went full-time.
Well, I know someone, she's been a guest on the show before, and this was many years ago, she started the industry. And not only did she get to work part-time while she was finishing up her degree, as a part-time leasing agent, they also gave her a three-bedroom apartment, which she promptly rented out two of the bedrooms to some of her school classmates. And so she was making $500 a month on a free apartment as she was working there. So it's a
Listen, that's smart thinking.
No, it is smart thinking. That's why she's successful in the industry today. But
absolutely.
So let's talk about NAA and what's going on there. And tell us a little bit about what you do for NAA.
Great question. So I joined NAA in October of last year. So we're going to be coming up on a year here shortly, which is exciting. And my position is new. So what you find with the National Apartment Association is they mostly come from the association world. And there's only a small percentage that work there that have actually worked on site and come up through the reins of the apartment industry. So I had industry experience along with my direct supervisor, Amy Groft, and we've created the industry operations department. So a good portion of my job is just the responsibility for delivery of content. So I'm creating programs and documents and information that is supporting apartment industry operations. A lot of those pertain to best practices, and it's really content that we're using for conferences, networking events, newsletters, just anything, the website, any kind of communications, I'm out there and I'm speaking to members and I'm seeing, you know, what works and what doesn't work, and then putting together documents like white papers to be able to share with our members so that they know not only what's going on, but how do they take those next steps to make that a best practice standard within their organization.
So what's coming up? We just had Apartmentalize, which is the big, huge event every year. Very impressive. I've, you know, been to a few. Seems like it gets bigger and better every year. What else is happening before we get back to the next big conference?
Well, thank you for acknowledging Apartmentalize. We had almost 11,000 attendees this year, so it was huge. It does, in fact, get larger and better every year. I hope to see everyone in Boston next June. But, you know, now we're really just we're starting to focus on the next Apartmentalize, which is coming up in June in Boston. We also have Maximize that's coming up next month, which is our revenue management conference in September. And we're really just focused very much on generating a newer website that is very user-friendly for all of our members and developing a lot of critical content that is needed for our membership. Some of the white papers that I spoke about a few minutes ago, we actually just released our newest white paper, which was on collections, and that came out last Friday. So I hope you'll check that out. That is the third in a series that also featured package management and synthetic fraud. And we actually work with a lot of our top suppliers in the industry to get data and case studies and other information that we're sharing with our members on a national level.
That's great. You mentioned Maximize, and before we finish up the segment, just tell the listeners about Maximize. I went to one. It was very impressive. And where is it going to be, and if someone wanted to register, what do they do?
Really easy to register. So this year is going to be September 23rd and 24th. It is in Atlanta, Georgia, so pretty centrally located for a lot of attendees. It is a two-day event. They can register right on the NAA webpage. So if you just go to the National Apartment Association's website, and you can either, if you wait and scroll, because there's several features that come up that are rotating, you can click on it that way, or you can also just click on conference or networking events, conferences, and then access it that way. But this is a really great event. Revenue management is something that's been big in our industry for over a decade now, and this is a more intimate conference. So Apartmentalize is very over the top and has so many people, and it's geared towards every facet of our business. But Maximize is geared towards revenue management. It's really great for your CFOs, your CEOs, your asset managers, your regional managers. And it's a chance to really do a lot of networking, but also roundtable discussions. So you're getting key takeaways that work for other businesses, and then you get to hear some great leaders speak about their companies and what innovative practices they're, you know, doing within their company.
Okay. Just real quick, if someone wanted to reach you, how can they do that?
The easiest way is by email, sanderson@naahq.org. And, of course, I'm always on all social media. They can tweet me or find me on LinkedIn or Facebook, but the easiest is sanderson@naahq.org.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for being on the show. We will be back next Friday with another episode of Multifamily Matters. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.